The Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Hello and welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition, episode 4.3. How's everyone doing? This is your host, Kevin, and I'm out on a nice little walk early in the morning on a Friday. Not a cloud in the sky, rather high humidity, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the weather in this forecast. Not that we can do anything about it, but that's what we like to do with the weather, isn't it? Before I forget, while I'm on the topic of walking, I think I've said this before, but I would not discount walking as one of your go-to cross-training efforts during your training program. You're still getting that time on your feet. You're not necessarily pounding away. And there's virtually no recovery period unless you're out walking for, 10 miles or so. But anyway, keep that one in mind. That one's, I think, underrated. I'm coming back from a non-running back injury. I think I discussed this at the beginning of the last episode. And thankfully, I say I'm coming back. Thankfully, I think the real term would be I am back. Pardon the pun. I am back from it. After a 10-day dose of some steroids and a decent amount of stretching, my back's pretty much back. Sorry, I don't mean to do that. My back is pretty much at 100% now. So that's a good thing. As I mentioned with the weather, I'm in the, or approaching the dog days of summer here in Cincinnati. We've had some rather humid weather, and I'm not going to get much of a respite from that. I will be off rather shortly on a vacation to the Sunshine State. Yeah, so I'll get little or probably no break from the humidity and nice weather there, but I'm not complaining about it because you and I both know that in the blink of an eye, we'll probably all be complaining about the cold weather. So I'm going to enjoy this. And just make some adjustments to my run, walk, run. That's kind of a little foreshadowing as well, huh? So listen, in the walk break portion of today's episode, we're going to once again catch up with Mr. Galloway, our favorite run, walk, run coach, before he heads off to run the Peachtree Road Race in beautiful Atlanta on the 4th of July. It's obviously past the 4th of July. We spoke to Jeff just a day or two prior to that. So listen, imagine being the first winner of a 10K that started with 110 runners and has grown to the world's largest 10K with over 60,000 entries. You can hear the love that Jeff has in his voice for this race. We've got several extra milers that will not miss this race. Tim, Kim, Ron, he's guys are crazy about this race, and for good reason. I've been lucky enough in a previous life to have run the Peachtree three times, as I recall. And although with 60,000 people, it's obviously not a race to try to PR, it is one of the most fun events you'll ever, ever enter. So if it's not already on your bucket list, or if you've not already done it, you ought to give that one a shot. While we're talking with Jeff, we'll also discuss some other spots that you can catch up with him in the next few weeks, or maybe even attend one of his retreats. No one's on my bucket list. After that gentle walk break to warm up, we're going to get on to the run interval portion of the show, where we are going to discuss two rather very appropriate topics. The first one is running in the heat, and the second one is losing your mojo. Two pretty popular topics, especially this time of year. And the good news is that if you're using run, walk, run as your training method, there are absolutely adjustments that you can make to run, walk, run to help you get through not only the hot, hot dog days of summer, safely, by the way, but also help you in the mojo, the losing of the mojo area as well. After the run interval, we're on to the magic mile, where we turn the show over to our lovable extra milers for questions and obviously updates for our premier event in Atlanta this December, the Jeff Galloway 13.1. And finally, in the well-deserved cool-down portion of the show, we're going to catch up with Coach Twiggs and our lovable Extra Mile podcast guinea pig, Mr. Chris Darling. Lots to get to, so let's do it. We'll, again, chat at the end of the show. So until then, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue, so let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
Okay, as Jeff says, it's time for a gentle walk break, the part of the show where we catch up with Jeff and find out where he's been and maybe more importantly, where he's headed. Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Well, Kevin, I am really smiling because I got my run in before it started raining here in Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta today.
Let me ask you a personal question. When do you have a certain time of the day that you like to get out? Is there one part of the day, or you just fit it in whenever you can?
Well, it really does revolve around something I've told you before, and that is I like to run with my wife, Barbara, and we do most of our runs together. The problem is that I am a morning person and she is not. And during the summertime, I prefer to run in the morning. But the bottom line is she may not be moving around ready to run. And so we end up going in the afternoons when it's a whole lot hotter. But I can deal with any aspect of the summer and, you know, due to my experience, so I'm okay with that. But I do prefer the morning.
And if I had to guess, I'd say that gives you a good reason to do two runs a day as well, too.
Well, that's true, and that that often does happen.
So let's talk a little bit about where you've been in the last. You and I spoke about 3 weeks ago. So I know you went to Washington. I know you've been to New York, all over the place. What have you been up to for the last month?
Well, actually, we had some time in Atlanta due to the cancellation of a race that we were scheduled to go to. Oh. But it's been a wonderful time to get some things done around our home, which we haven't been able to do for a while. And it's been a good planning time for our company. So we've got a lot of exciting things going on. So we've been having a lot of convocations, brainstorming, and then organizational meetings, and I'm just very excited about it. We'll be announcing some of that, as you know. I'm poised right now, waiting for the expo to start for the Peachtree Road Race, which will begin on Sunday. And our son Brennan and friend Carissa will be coming to town tomorrow. This is another one of our family weekends. Regardless of where people are, we try to get in for the Peachtree Road Race. I was the first winner of that race, and it is just such a great convocation time of people coming into our store, Pheidippides, from all around the world who come in for that race. So, and we've got a fabulous party after that race. So if anybody is listening to this, it'll be a little too late to join the party this year. But remember, for next year, after the race, it's just a short jog or walk to our store from the finish line of the race. And we have refreshments, lots of fun, and then people will be able to lie about their performances, too, all afternoon long.
Yeah, it's like fishermen catching the big one, isn't it?
It sure is. And then we have a day after Peachtree, and we're headed off to Missoula, Montana, one of my favorite events, and I just absolutely love that event, and we're going to be doing that for the last time for a while. The organization has brought us in 7 years in a row, and they're going to shift their invitation list, so we will be going to a different event next year. But we dearly love that event. It's just a fabulous place.
Yeah, we've spoken about that a lot, and I know that's on your one of the top races you like to do. That one has something I think is very cool. If you're in the area the race itself is on July the 9th, but on July the 6th at 6 p.m., you can actually have a little short run with Jeff, and following, you can socialize with Jeff in the tap room of some place called the Big Sky Brewing Company. Sounds like a lot of fun that time. That event.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because the way that the state laws on alcohol are in Montana, they don't allow Big Sky to sell beer right at their brewery, but they allow them to give it away. So guess what? We're going to take advantage of that. And I haven't they always have about six or seven different brews. They brew up a lot of microbrews, and I haven't tasted one that I didn't like.
That sounds like a blast. And then the following morning, on Friday the 7th at 9 o'clock, you can hike what they call the M Trail with Jeff. What's the M Trail, Jeff?
The University of Montana is located right there in downtown Missoula. And years and years ago, certain people in the community hiked up above the university and constructed a gigantic letter M. And, you know, there are all types of stories as to how that initiated. Being on a campus, you can imagine. But the bottom line is, it has become an institution, and there's this really neat trail that switchbacks up to that and gives you a fabulous view of the whole valley. And it's just a great way on Friday morning of race weekend to get things started and have a nice, enjoyable time to talk and just really get to know one another right off the bat.
Very good. And then, of course, on Friday and Saturday, you'll be at the expo signing autographs, giving advice, selling your books. And then also I wanted to point this out for anyone in the area. On Saturday, July the 8th at 2 o'clock, you're going to have one of your – at the Doubletree Hotel, by the way, you're going to have one of your three-hour running schools. Still room for that, I assume.
There is still room, and that – really is a time when you can learn all of the ingredients that we talk about all the time at one time and then ask any questions you have. And I regularly hear from people who have been in our programs for 10 years but have never attended a school. And after the school, they say they picked up so many things and then put together the pieces of the puzzle much better. So, and it's fun. It's upbeat. You meet some good people there, too.
Very good. Okay, so that's Missoula. And then at the end of July, I know you're heading back out to Tahoe, one of your favorite places in the world.
Yeah, really can't wait. You know, Atlanta does get a little steamy during the summertime. Tahoe tends to be about 10% humidity, and the highs are 75 to 85, and they feel like 65 to 70. It's just a fabulous place. But the other great thing is the trails there. There's so many good runnable trails. And the vistas, oh my gosh. We go to a different trail every day. There and Carmel are my two favorite places to run.
Very good. So, and that one, I'm not sure you do this anywhere else, but you actually have a week long, and then for those who can't do the whole week, just a weekend for that.
That's correct.
Very
yes.
Good. So listen, I will post if you're even a tiny bit interested. These fill up. This one fills up. So get over there, and I'll post a spot to it. But Jeff's got a great FAQ on this one. What's included? Do you need to rent a car? By the way, no, you don't. The accommodations, everything, what a typical day is, everything you need to know about that particular retreat, which I know is a very popular one. So I will post that. Very good. Am I missing anything, Jeff? Is that going to bring us up to speed until maybe the next time we speak?
That is true. We have our big corporate race, the Kaiser Permanente Corporate Run Walk, and I'll be doing some special clinics just for the Atlanta corporate community. But other than that, I'll be off to first to our program in Sonoma County, California, on the 21st, and do some clinics up there. And then after about 5 days there doing some work, I will be headed for Tahoe.
Nice. Okay, great. Very good. And we'll catch up, figure out how Tahoe went, and we'll catch up the next time, too, about where you're going after that sometime in September.
And come to think of it, yeah. Kevin, I actually will be giving a running school on Sunday the 23rd of July up in Sonoma County. So you can find that posting up on our website.
Good. Great.
After that gentle walk break, and knowing just the right ratio and pace, it's time to run.
Okay, Jeff. I guess now that we've done that gentle walk break, it's time for a run and roll part of the show where we discuss all things run, walk, run. And for this episode, I thought I would tee up two very, very popular discussions that we've got going over on the Facebook page. The first topic I'd like to talk about is so important, particularly this time of year. And the second, like I said, is it's just going crazy on Facebook. So much so that I thought it was kind of a sleeper topic, and I wanted to bring it up with you today. So first of all, the first topic is running in the warm weather. I know it's hot for most everyone these times. And before we get into the specifics of how you deal with the heat during the run, walk, run rule. So I'd like to discuss first some of the bad effects of running in the heat and ask you if you've seen some of this personally in all of your years of coaching. What are we into here for the heat as far as danger goes?
Well, the statistics are scary, actually, in that heat causes more deaths and serious medical problems than any other thing in running. It's just a really dangerous thing. And since I am on record to be against death, I'm going to really try to steer people away from that. What it involves, the reason for this, is that when you run, you're going to elevate your core body temperature significantly. And in times when the temperature is above 60 degrees, you're not going to disperse that increased temperature like you would if it was in the 50s, 40s, or 30s. So it'll build up. And at some point, when your core body temperature gets too high, the brain starts shutting things down. And one of them, sadly, can be the heart through arrhythmias. And if there's blockages there, there are complications and so forth. So that my method is really important. The run, walk, run is really important during the summertime to avoid these serious complications.
Can you give us some of the, assuming we do something silly and not adjust, what are some of the symptoms of running in the heat, or that we can tell we've overdone it?
Well, thanks for bringing it up, because not only might an individual who's listening get into it, but look around you in a race on a hot day. When you're running with a friend, oftentimes we look straight ahead, but from time to time you should look at the other people to make sure that they're not getting into some form of heat disease. And so what you're looking for is, first of all, the extreme heat buildup, which sometimes is registered by red face, and that in itself doesn't mean heat disease, but you sort of monitor that. But if someone is not sweating on a hot day, in other words, they're sweating for a while and then the sweating stops, or they have hot and cold flashes, or they have a headache that really starts building up during a hot run, all of those could mean that you're about to go into a more serious form of heat disease called heat stroke or heat exhaustion. And you need to back off at the very first sign. And of course, the adjustment of the run, walk, run is the very best way to back off.
So let's get into that adjustment for the run, walk, run. How do we make sure we don't fall into that trap?
And I did neglect one other symptom, and that is you're just losing your concentration and your feeling of control over your running or your thought processes. That's the brain starting to shut things down under the stress of heat. So the adjustment starts at 55 degrees for those who live most of the year coming out of the winter in cold climates. And for every 5 degrees above 55, you need to slow down 30 seconds per mile. Now, for those who live in hot climates pretty much year-round, you could start at 60, but it's always safer to start at 55 because that's actually the temperature where the body starts to accumulate body heat when the outside temperature is 55 degrees. So again, slow down 30 seconds a mile for every 5 degree Fahrenheit increase above 55. And if you're listening in a from a country that has centigrade, we're talking about for every 2.5 degree temperature increase above 14 centigrade, you need to slow down 20 seconds per, for every 2.5 degree temperature increase, 20 seconds per kilometer.
Great. Are there other ways, other things, that little tips and tricks that you've discovered to stay cool during a run, things to wear, what, I don't know, any other?
Well, yes, and I will talk about the run, walk, run separately, but the other things that really do help, very light garments that can absorb a little moisture and then wick it away. And they, microfibers, you'll find them in stores like our Fidipides store in Atlanta. And if you ever have any questions about technical items on the market, you can email those at Fidipides.com. But the microfiber garments are just fabulous for their ability to dissipate the heat that you're generating from your body. And if you wet them down, then you get an evaporation effect that can help cool you on these hot days. One big trick that has worked amazingly well over the years is to get an ice chest. If you're doing a long run on a hot day, get an ice chest. Fill it full of ice water. And every time you loop around it, your neighborhood, pour a cup or two of ice water over your head and let it run down the back of your shirt, because that evaporation effect is just amazing. And then you can adjust the length of your loop that you're doing to make sure that you're getting that cold water dose often enough.
I know that you're very much against hats in the hot weather, too. Is that true?
Is very true. You lose over 70% of the body heat you can lose through the top of your head. If you wear a hat on a hot day, then you're going to accumulate more core body temperature increase. A visor's fine, but a hat sort of caps that area and stimulates the heat buildup.
Is there any point, obviously, even doing all this and using run, walk, run and slowing down, that you really recommend just, you know, maybe take a day off or go for a gentle walk or just don't run? Does that ever happen?
Absolutely. And it can even happen if a long run is scheduled. You can walk the whole distance of that long run and you will get all the endurance of that distance. So don't ever hesitate to go down to a walk on a hot day. That'll give you the exertion that will maintain your fitness, and it'll give you all the endurance of the distance that you cover, and you're not going to tend to overheat if you're walking. One other thing that I failed to mention is to get out the door early if you're running outside, and that means before the sun rises above the horizon. Now, the best situation is to actually finish your run before that sun rises above the horizon. That can mean a very early rising, but the radiance of the sun greatly increases the chance that you could elevate your core body temperature. So it's better to run in the dark.
What about our pre-run meals? Does it matter what we eat?
Yes. The heat condition is going to make digestion even harder. And that what that means is that your stomach is more likely to reject things that it doesn't reject in cold weather. So minimal ingestion of 30 to 40 calories of things that digest really quickly, like sugar cubes, lifesavers, you know, things like that. I've gone back to defizz Coca-Cola now because it has water, sugar, and caffeine all in one. And I haven't really found a cooler that I could tow behind me in races. So I just put it in two big pockets that I run in. But whatever you do, try out various forms of sugar that will digest easily. The more easily digestible, the less chance on a hot day you're going to have of indigestion or worse.
You know, I think one of a runner's best friend can be adrenaline. But adrenaline during a race on a warm day cannot be your friend. And I ran into that during a race of mine some time ago. So it can make it hard. You get all excited during a race. It can make it very difficult to do the thing you ought to do. You know you ought to do, and that's to slow down during a warm day, even for a race.
Yes, and the adrenal and other hormonal reactions that happen under stress are often triggered by the monkey brain, the subconscious ancient brain. And so they're going to happen. But if you have a cognitive strategy in realizing that this is going on, even though the adrenaline is going to make you feel stronger and you can push through this. You need to take cognitive control over that and realize that even though I do feel good, I am going to hold back so that I won't overheat and die. I mean, you can tell yourself anything, whether it's funny or not, but it's not funny to push yourself into heat. And indeed, a number of the studies on people that have gone to the emergency room after races and also have died there's a higher percentage of people that are in really good shape, because the people who are in real good shape can push themselves farther into heat disease before the body tends to shut down. The newbies, the legs give out before they get to that point.
So very good. So I think the very good news out of this is that, number one, you don't necessarily have to lock yourself into your air-conditioned home during the hot summer days. You can get out there, just use common sense, slow down, add more walk breaks. And the big thing that I've had a lot of discussion on the Facebook page with folks, and some of them don't believe us until they do it, but your comment about just walk and you're still going to get the same endurance. That's a big one. That's a big
one. It is. It allows you to stay in the game on hot days, to still get those long ones in without running the risk of heat disease. And you really have the capacity to do things that you really shouldn't do. We know that. And runners get so fired up and want to get in all the training as they go up to a half or full marathon. And heat is dangerous, so take control over that.
Very good. Not to be messed with. Go ahead. Did I interrupt?
Well,
you?
Yeah, the last thing that I wanted to really cover would be the adjustment of run, walk, run on a hot day. And so as you're slowing down 30 seconds a mile for every 5-degree temperature increase, you also need to take the new strategy with the slower pace. So if someone is starting their run at 60 degrees or 55 degrees, say, at 55 degrees, the temperature, the run-walk-run pace would be 12 minutes. Run-walk-run would be 60-30. Then by 65 degrees, the 12 becomes 13 minutes per mile, and the strategy should be 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15. And then as you go to 75 degrees or 80, the ratio shifts again to 15 seconds run and 30 seconds of walk. The premise here is that by including more walking and running and less running as part of the ratio, you're going to lower the chance that you're going to have this heat buildup. So you gain control over that process.
Great. Excellent. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. The second topic I wanted to touch upon is the one I mentioned earlier about has just gone crazy on the Facebook page. It started a little bit ago when a fellow Run Walk Run fan by the name of Connie posted, and I just want to read a tiny bit of it if I could. She says, "Hi, guys. I seem to have lost my running motivation/mojo. And then she goes on to describe pretty much just life getting in the way, taking on a new job and some other life getting in the way issues, which I think we all go through if we're honest with each other. In addition to that, she just doesn't feel like she's really striving for anything, even though she does have some races coming up. So what I would like to do, and anyway, that posting on Facebook prompted just a ton of comments from other folks, and most of them, although some of them were, here's what I did, try this, a lot of them were, same deal. You know, I've lost my mojo, and I don't know whether that's a summer hot thing or what the deal is, but since you have written a few books and a very specific one entitled Mental Training for Runners, How to Stay Motivated, I want to discuss that whole topic with you briefly. Knowing what Connie and others are going through, can you tell us a little bit about some of the suggestions that this Mental Training for Runners book might have in it?
Yes, and first of all, the cause, going back to this, these two brain operating systems, the ancient subconscious monkey brain has just tons of memory in it, and what happens is it, if you allow it to be in control, and it will seep back in under stressful situations like heat and busy days and lots of things that you really need to do instead of run. If you allow the monkey brain to come back in and govern what you're doing at that point in time, then the monkey brain goes back in its memory and it will dredge out running experiences that weren't good, and you can find a lot of those in hot conditions. So it is natural, if you allow the monkey brain to be in control, to get less motivated during the summertime and during times when you're busy and when you have a ambitious goal ahead of you. So it's going to register a stress buildup from all of the above. And if the monkey brain's in control, it starts triggering the release of anxiety hormones so that you're less motivated and you lose your mojo. And then if you, again, continue to let that, without taking cognitive control, the monkey brain stays in control, and then the negative hormones start going, and you feel miserable about going out and running. Well, the way that you can counter this is to have a cognitive strategy which starts, for most people that I've worked with, and you'll see this in the mental training book, it starts with a series of positive mantras, because when you say a positive mantra and you focus on the thought, then you activate the human brain, which overrides the monkey brain so that it won't be secreting its anxiety and negative attitude hormones, and you can gain control. And then you can start going step by step to set up a positive mindset. And this is mainly done by taking action and providing positive reasons for getting out there. Because if you don't run, then you don't get that positive attitude brain circuit turned on. You also don't get the activity, the energy circuit turned on. So you don't have as much energy, and you don't turn on that amazing empowerment circuit that running turns on better than anything. So you're losing some major things that are going to enhance your life. And you don't need a goal to do that. All you need to do is get out and move your feet. And so the single greatest help I found, which also will help people cope with the heat, is that on a regular short run day, even if you get out for only 5 minutes, you're going to get some mental benefit, and you're going to maintain some of your running adaptation so that you don't lose them all. The odds are, if you get out for 5 minutes, you're going to do 10, 15, or 30. And so it's just simply getting out the door that starts to unlock these positive things. And if you tell yourself, I'm only going out for 5 minutes, you're more likely to get out there. But even if you only get out there for 5 to 10 minutes, it gives you that opportunity to get a boost, and then later on in the day, you could do another 5 to 10 minutes, and you're going to maintain practically all of your adaptations if you have 2 10-minuters during the day. It's also perfectly appropriate to break up your short runs into 5 to 10-minute segments and do several throughout the day on a hot day, because that disperses the heat buildup very quickly. And then the other major thing about the mental side of this is that set up a plan that works for you. And there are a lot of individual differences. But I strongly recommend, if you're in a funk, a motivational funk, to not worry so much about what your next goal is. You should focus on, I want to feel better now. And running will do that for you.
Very good. So if I had to come up with two words from all of that, Jeff, as a kind of a 30,000 foot, it would be to take control. Don't sit back and just let life do this to you. You take control of this, figure out why it's happening, and then do something about it.
Kevin, you are so brilliant in summarizing my ranting and raving on this topic. So, you know, those who are listening to this can just listen to what you said. That's all. You don't have to listen to me at all.
So I'm going to post in the show notes a link to Jeff's book, Mental Training for Runners, and fix all of this for everybody. And on top of that, we'll get Jeff to autograph that book for you.
Yeah, not only has that book helped people with their running, but I regularly hear from people that say, it really allows me to deal with the other challenges in my life. It's really gratifying to hear that.
Very good. Thanks for that, Jeff.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So it's time for a magic mile.
So that was a great run interval. So let's try another magic mile. That's the part of the show where we turn over to our lovable extra mile listeners to pick your brain. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to start with an audio question from our good friend Trisha Becker. And so let's listen to this, Jeff, if you don't mind, and we can see what your thoughts are for what Trisha has to say.
Great.
Hi, Jeff. This is Trisha from St. Louis. And my question for you is, I know that you recently ran the Big Sur Marathon in California. And I also know that that race has what some might think is a fairly tight cutoff of 6 hours and that it's very hilly. Since this is my bucket race list for maybe someday, and I know it's just an absolutely gorgeous course, I am curious what kind of preparation you did for this race. What interval did you use? Did you do any kind of hill training? And was there just really anything specifically that you did to prepare for this race that was different from other marathons that you've run? Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Well, Trisha, yes, you got it right. I love the Big Sur race. It is phenomenal in its beauty. Great people. It's well run. The organizers are friendly. It's just a great weekend. We hold our retreats, many of our retreats in Carmel, where a lot of people stay for that. And I love the Lamplighter, but there are a whole lot of wonderful places there. And you make for a just positive experience. It's much more than a race. Now, that said, it's hilly. And one of the hills is over 2 miles long. It just keeps going up. So the additional things to prepare are, first of all, get a realistic assessment of your ability. They do have a hard core 6 hour limit. So you want to make sure that you're ready for that. Magic Mile will tell you that. And I want to reiterate about the Magic Mile. What you want to do is you want to see that Magic Mile predicting at 5:30 in the marathon or faster than that because of the hilliness on the course. And the fact that a lot of folks who use the Magic Mile don't do the mile repetitions. Mile repetitions will help you prepare for that course, and it'll give you more strength at the end of that. And you can see that in my book, Year Round Plan, or the Boston How to Qualify. Boston How to Qualify, by the way, not only has training programs for all of the Boston qualifying standards, but it goes all the way up for the higher age groups into 5:30 and so forth. So it's not just super fast times that are 3 hours to 4 hours. Now, the hilly preparation, I recommend running once a week or at the very least once every 14 days on a hilly course. And if you only have one hill in town, you can run up it and run down it, run up it and run down it. You do want to take more frequent walk breaks on the uphill. And then on the downhill, You can take fewer walk breaks. But the bottom line is you need to get those muscles ready for the hilly course. I give clinics year to year, each year at Big Sur, and I explain the method of adapting run, walk, run to the hilly course. And it involves shifting to more walking and less running. For example, if you would run a normal, not as hilly marathon course, and you would use something like a 60-30, then you want to run 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15 on the Big Sur course on the uphills. On the flats or downhills, you could be fine running your normal ratio, whatever that is. So the longer long runs are also very important, and it is a good idea to go up beyond 26 miles to have a 27, 28, or even a 29er 3 to 4 weeks before. This gives you extra stamina so that you don't tend to slow down when you get there towards the end. And then finally, do your research on the course. And they have a very good website, the Big Sur International Marathon does, and it will explain how you can look for where you should look for the hills to come up. They do keep coming at you, but if you're prepared for that, then as you go up the hill, each hill, you just repeat, "I love hills," and that's going to put you into a positive attitude.
Very good. Trisha, I say do it. Pull the trigger and enter that race and do it. Take that husband along with you. Anyway, thanks, Jeff, for that. Our next question comes from Virgintino. He lives in Florida, and actually he's going to be running both Chicago and New York this year. One is in October, the other is in November, as he got accepted to both lotteries. So good on you there, Virgintino. His last full was at Disney, and his PR is about 4.5 hours. He's currently using the your training program for a timed goal, and his main concern is that New York is just 4 weeks away from Chicago. So his question is, what kind of adjustments should he make during those 4 weeks in between? He wants his body to recover fully, but at the same time, he doesn't want it to take it too easy so that it affects his readiness for that second race.
Yeah, there are a lot of things you can do. I'll go over the primary ones. Again, you'll see a lot of the other ones on our website, and the Boston How to Qualify book is one that I would recommend if you want to try to improve your time, Virgintino. But here they are. First of all, in Chicago, you want to run slower. And if you're in 4:30 marathon shape by Chicago, I would recommend no faster than 5 hours. And actually, it'd be better to shoot for more like 5:15 to 5:30. Just enjoy it and relax. And with that in mind, you would be using something more like a 45-second run and 30-second walk, or even 30-30. A lot of folks have found that 30-30 is a wonderful way to recover extremely fast. And so I would try one of those two to do Chicago. And then I think you're going to find if you do that, particularly 30-30, that you're going to really recover fast. And so there's really not a big downtime there. But the usual recovery things would apply here. And right after Chicago, within 30 minutes, you want to have a reloading snack of 300 calories. And the best fuel for that reloading is a product called Endurox R4. So 300 calories within 30 minutes. But if you don't have that available, then even a soft drink or a dose of juice that has 300 calories in it within 30 minutes is really good, or some just sugary snack. And then within 3 hours of finishing Chicago, you want to soak your legs in a cool tub of water. And the temperature needs to be 78 degrees or cooler than that. And usually just the cool water tap will do it. You want to soak for 15 minutes. It helps also in recovery to wear a compression sleeve during Chicago and after, for the 24 hours after. Now, you don't have to wear it when you're soaking in the tub, but you know, wearing it around as you're walking around, good thing. It does help recover. And then you don't need another long run because you can hold your endurance from Chicago for 4 weeks. So you'll be ready endurance-wise for New York. But you want to run every other day to maintain your adaptations. And the minimum in between is 30 minutes every other day. Most folks like to run a little longer on the weekends, and I recommend that, maybe a 6-miler or something like that. But you've got some great marathons ahead of you, and I hope you enjoy each one of them.
Very good. Great advice, Jeff. Virgintino, my advice would be, since you won both the Chicago and the New York lottery, is to get yourself out and buy a Florida State Lottery ticket as well. You seem to be pretty lucky these days. So take advantage of that. And
remember, absolutely.
Remember where you heard that advice, too, if you should win. I have another question, an audio question that Connie from Pennsylvania sent us. So let's listen to that one and see what you have to say about that, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. This is Connie from Pennsylvania. My question for you today is about the Run Disney Race Weekend. I've never run a Disney race, but I'm planning to be there for the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend in January of 2019. This past fall, I ran my first half marathon, and this coming fall, I plan to run at least one and possibly two half marathons. I'd really love to run a full marathon at some point, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about having the Walt Disney World Marathon as a first marathon experience. I love Disney World, so it seemed like a great combination, but I would like to know your thoughts on the race itself as being a person's first marathon experience. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Connie, you have a great experience ahead of you at Walt Disney World Marathon. It really is selected out as one of the very top venues for doing the first marathon, because Disney spoils you. They really get you to the start, back from the finish. They entertain you along the way. People are just in a good mood. It's just a fabulous place. And then there's the medals. Oh, my gosh. Go to the website, Run Disney website. You'll see my training programs there. They will take you right on through. They'll run you right on through up to the day. The Disney Marathon is one of my – at the top of my list, and I put it in the category of the hospitality category, because you can take friends and family members there, and everybody can find something really fun to do there while you're doing your running thing. And then you can all celebrate afterwards together, because I'm sure you will use the Run, Walk, Run. And we have Galloway Pace groups now, so you can just file into one of our Galloway Pace groups, and you'll be taken care of with a team to run with.
So that sounds like two thumbs up, Connie. Enter that race as soon as it becomes available, because they close out pretty quickly. Keep that one in mind. Let's see. We've got one from Allison. Allison's training using a 30-15 ratio that she's done for her past half marathons, but now she's training for her first full marathon, and she's wanting to know if she should switch that to a 30-30 that she's used before for previous marathons.
Allison, I would definitely recommend downshifting from your 30-15 that you're using in half marathons. Now, you've got three major choices, and they would be 30-30 or 20-20 or 15-15. And 15-15 has actually been the more gentle. So what you should do is practice one day a week doing five or six different quarter mile or half miles for time. And in those, you would try a different run, walk, run on each one. And that would tell you over several months which one really does work best. And some folks actually like to start out their marathon at an even more gentle strategy. And in your case, that would be something like the reverse of what you're doing in half marathons. You run 15 seconds and you walk 30. And then after about 6 to 10 miles, you could shift back over to the 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15. Or you may find another more quirky strategy that works better for you, and you'll find that out by trying them out.
Very good. And our last question, Jeff, comes from Christina. First of all, she wants you to know that she loves your podcast, and she's got three of your books. She's 46 years old, and she started walking to build up to a run, walk, run. But she's concerned or is questioning the run portion of her run, walk, run. She seems to think the run portion is very, very slow, and especially compared to her walk pace. Should she even be concerned about how, you know, cognitive of that? Of that pace during her run, or how can she improve the run portion of that?
That is a good question, Christina. I really want you to understand that there are a lot of individual differences in terms of the speed that you would run during a running segment, based on a whole lot of ability issues that different people have in races. But I can tell you that if your running amount is short enough, then you'll be able to pick up the pace a little faster than you've been running. So I would recommend that you experiment by doing several segments, one day a week, at a time that you think is going to be realistic in your race, for a quarter mile or a half mile. And you have a series of these that you do every week, once a week, do 4 to 6 of them, and try different run, walk, run configurations. So, for example, with a 13 minute per mile pace, a lot of people would start out with either 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15. But by trying things back and forth, some find that they actually go faster by running a short amount like 15 seconds and walking for 20, because they can run faster during 15 seconds than they used to when they were running 30 seconds. Give it a try, and you'll come up with some configurations that simply work better for you.
Very good. And lastly, Christina also evidently, she trains endurance horses, Jeff, and she's going to start using run, walk, run, training her endurance horses. So I thought maybe that's a market you hadn't thought about before.
Let me add on to the last question, and that is, Christina, don't worry so much about your running pace. You definitely can try these configurations, but do what feels natural for you, and don't try to do something that one of your friends is using.
Very good. So listen, the last part of the Magic Mile segment of the show is also to catch up a little bit on the Jeff Galloway 13.1 coming up this year, December the 15th through the 17th in Atlanta. And I understand we might have a special guest speaker for the race this year.
Yes, we are so excited, and you need to get on our various social media or our newsletter. We have a free newsletter. You can sign up for it on our website. But the social media will be announcing this fairly soon. It is an Olympic gold medalist who is just a very inspiring person, and you will just really want to be around this person. So I'm not going to say any more right now. I'm going to tease you. But we will be sending it out on our social media. We have our Facebook accounts for Jeff Galloway, you know, our jeffgalloway.com. And we also have Facebook accounts for our race, jeffgalloway131.com. We also have Instagram for Jeff Galloway, and we have our big race, the KP Corporate Run Walk has a Facebook too. So any one of those would be announcing, but jeffgalloway.com is the primary one, and you can go there and find out all the other links.
Very good. So in addition, we'll have some more Jeff Galloway 13.1 updates on our next podcast with this announcement. But if you haven't signed up for the Facebook pages, I'll put all those links in the show notes and get out there and do it. In addition, we'll have some upcoming details about another podcast meetup, hopefully at this Jeff Galloway 13.1. And if you weren't there last year, here's something you missed. It's pretty cool. We actually did a live podcast recording at the expo, and maybe we can talk about doing another one of those. That was pretty popular and a lot of fun too, Jeff.
Kevin, that is absolutely so well received. I continue to get people talking about that, either those that participated or those that that were, you know, in the viewership of it. So it really is a very popular item. Let's do it again.
Well, before we get off the topic of the social media, Jeff, while we're discussing that, you've got some other pretty exciting social media freebie things coming up, don't you?
Yes, we're going to give away some books. My new training journal just came out, and I am so pleased with how it turned out. It's spiral bound and easy to access, back and forth, referencing things because of the spiral binding. But it also has all the updates of the information on our training and gives you the cliff notes so that you can quickly look and see, am I doing this right? And it's one resource right there. And we're going to give some of them free. We're going to give five free every week starting the 14th of July on our four different versions of social media. So you will have four opportunities to win one of five books each time that we give it away. We'll be teasing it to remind you about the next giveaway. And then on Freebie Friday, four Fridays in a row, we will be giving you something to reply to enter the contest. And you have, and it's easy. It's going to be your impression about something running. Imagine that. And then you've got until the next day to really reply to that.
Very good. Sounds exciting. And if you don't already keep a journal, you're missing out on an amazing opportunity. You really are. You're letting some stuff go by that you may need down the road. So if you don't win one of these, I will post a link where you can get a copy right from Jeff for his brand new running journal. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, and those who use the journal tend to run more days a year. They stay more motivated, and they tend to be more successful.
Very good. Yeah, you can actually visualize what you're doing and figure out what maybe you're not doing right. Good. Before we get off on the topic as well, I didn't want to leave out our corporate runners, and we do have quite a few of them. You mentioned the KP Run Walk, but there's something this year you teased us last episode about as far as a virtual goes if you're not in the Atlantic area, right?
That is absolutely true. Our big race in Atlanta is the Kaiser Permanente Corporate Run Walk, and it is fun. And we're actually going indoors for the staging now in the Georgia World Congress Center, which means that we're away from potentially harmful weather in the staging. And after the race, we're in air conditioning, and we have MARTA access. So it's really a better venue than we've ever had before. But there are just hundreds of people every year that contact me directly and say, I don't live in Atlanta, I couldn't be there that day, whatever. Do you have a virtual? Well, now we do. And the main reason that we do the virtual is that this event has free an 8-week Get In Shape program that's tailor-made for companies and organizations. And it often is the very first entry that a company has into a wellness program. It can get everybody in the company doing something towards a 5K goal. They can walk it, They can run it. Hey, they can crawl it if they want to. But it brings the company together with a fitness team theme, and it is a wonderful team builder. So if you would like to put this in place in your company, go to our Kaiser Permanente website, and the easiest way to access that is to simply go to jeffgalloway.com, and you can link right up to our Kaiser Permanente 5K website, and just go from to the virtual.
Very good. So, Jeff, I think that's all I had for you today. I appreciate your time. I appreciate everything you do for this podcast. And unless you've got something else, I'll let you get back to your rainy day in Atlanta and all of your honeydew list.
Well, that is definitely true. We are looking forward to a wonderful holiday, and I know that July 4th will be over, and Canada Day will be over by the time that this broadcast comes out, but I wish every single person out there the very best holiday that they take this summer, and enjoy every endorphin along the way.
No matter how hot it is, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jeff. Have a great weekend, and good luck at Peachtree.
Thank you, Kevin.
Take care.
After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
Well, like the man says, it's time for a well-deserved cool down, and to do that, we need to head over to the Extra Mile Podcast Jeff Galloway Edition hotline, where we have a couple of Chris's on the phone with us to catch up again. Welcome back to the podcast, Coach Chris Twiggs, and our Extra Mile Podcast Jeff Galloway Edition guinea pig, Chris Darling. Good afternoon, guys.
How's it going?
Hey, Kevin.
I'm good. How are you two?
Doing well.
Chris, terrific.
Chris Darling, where are you these days? Are you at home? Are you in?
I am in my office here in Virginia Beach.
How's the weather?
Actually, a beautiful day after some pretty oppressive heat. I was able to get my run in before it even hit 70 today, so it was nice.
Nice. Yeah, we've got some really, really cool stuff right now. I think it's about to end, but we've had a few days of, you know, like mid-60s during the day, which is unheard of, but I'll take it.
Absolutely.
That's my way of segueing to where Mr. Twiggs is at these days, because we've done this for a few years, and it's one of my favorite conversations I have with him. Where are you today, Coach Chris?
I am in Ouray, Colorado, which is in the San Juan Mountains in southwest Colorado. I'm looking out at beautiful blue skies, snow-capped mountains, and it's a cool 67 degrees here right now. This is where I can think of no place I'd rather be in the summer.
Amazing. So that's where the sanity of our conversation probably ends. Why are you there? What are you there doing?
Oh, gosh. I am here training for my 13th consecutive Hard Rock 100-mile endurance run, which is 100 miles up and down mountains, starting and finishing in Silverton, Colorado, and it connects the four mining towns or previously mining towns of Silverton, Lake City, Ouray, and Telluride. And I'm just having the time of my life training and hiking and running and most of all, not sweating like a pig back in Florida.
Yeah, but we're not running 100 miles either, so there's
It's the price I pay. It's the price I pay.
Yeah, right. So you've done 12 of these already, and you keep coming back. Wow. What's the pull for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, the initial pull, what initially drew me to this race is the fact that it does come through Ouray, and my wife's great-grandmother was born at the Camp Bird Mine, which is just up the mountain from Ouray, and the race goes right past that mine.
And so this is a town that my wife and her mother and her grandmother all grew up coming out to in the summers. And we wanted our kids to know what it was to spend the summer here in this small town. And so I started coming out here and I found out about this event. And I just love the idea of spending. We have 48 hours is the time cut off for the race. And just to spend up to 2 days hiking and running all over these mountains just was, it just captured me. The whole idea did. And then that's what brought me to it initially. And then what keeps me coming back, honestly, is the family atmosphere. I mean, any of the listeners who have a favorite race that they do that's a family tradition, you know, Jeff Galloway and his family, they're all getting ready for the Peachtree Road race as we're recording this. It's coming up next Tuesday, 4th of July. Of course, Jeff won the inaugural Peachtree, and that race is a big homecoming for him and a big type of reunion with his friends and family. And that's what Hard Rock has become for me, and that's what I've been doing these last few days, is getting out and hiking with guys that have done this race, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 times, and that I've gotten to know over the years. And this is the only time of the year that we actually see each other, but getting to spend hours and hours with them is just, it's tremendous. And so it's the family atmosphere. We call it Camp Hard Rock, and it's those 2 or 3 weeks prior to the race when people are showing up and getting out and doing all these epic hikes while the snow is still up there in the high country. And it's what keeps us all coming back, and why, even if I weren't doing the race, this is still where I would want to be volunteering and cheering on the other folks that are doing it.
Very cool. I see why you're in pins and needles every year when you enter this race, trying to get in, because it's not a for sure thing, even after 12 years, that you can get into this thing, right?
No, it's not. I mean, it's a lottery, and it is a weighted lottery, so my chance of getting in is greater than somebody who is trying to get in for the first time. And there's actually a separate lottery for veterans, for people that have finished it more than 5 times. So but the wait list for people to get in the first time, there are over 1,000 people on the wait list every year trying to get in. There are only 140 spots for the people to run it, and there are 30 spots reserved for veterans, with about 45 veterans trying to get in. And but so my odds are good to get in, but you're right, I'm on pins and needles. And in fact, the drawing happens in December, and that's always my favorite Christmas present when I find out that I got into Hard Rock.
Nice. Are they going to do you a favor this year and just make you run 100?
Yeah. Well, so far it looks like it's just going to be 100. You're always good to point that out. There have been years when there have been some detours that have caused it to be 104, 105, 106 miles. And that's mostly because this does go across both National Park Service land, and it also goes across some private land and some old mining claims that are out here. And we can't always control what those, you know, what those landowners are going to let us do. But I have not heard of any detours so far this year. So if it's the same course as last year, it should be about 100.4 miles. So just a hair longer than 100.
Enjoy the rest of your training out there, Chris. And then you get some reinforcements coming in tomorrow, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. Man, this is the first time that I've been here by myself. Last year I was by myself for a week. But that was, you know, I also had my trip to China in the middle of all of this last year. So, you know, it didn't seem like I was as lonely, but man, I'm like, this house is as clean as it can get. I've done laundry 7 times. You know, I've done everything you can. We have drop bags that we're supposed to put out at various aid stations at this race. Uh-huh. Normally I don't pack my drop bags until 2 days before the race. My drop bags have been packed for 2 weeks because I've had nothing to do but work and train. So, so yeah, everybody gets here tomorrow, and I am just really looking forward to having, even the buddy that I used to train with all the time here has moved. He couldn't handle the winters here. So he moved.
Imagine that.
Yeah, he moved to a warmer area. So I'm getting out and training with the Hard Rockers. But once we get down from the climb and have lunch together, they go their way and I come back here, and thus begins the long, lonely day.
Well, that'll all end tomorrow. You probably
it will. It'll be chaos, and I love it.
Crazy. Well, good luck. I'm sure we'll speak after that, and we'll all see how well you did.
Good. If I can speak after that, I'll be happy to speak after that.
All right, so listen, let's recap here. The last time we spoke, Mr. Darling had told us that he had never officially used Run Walk Run. He signed up for the Galloway Customized Training Program back on May the 8th and started it, got the program the very next day. And I think, Chris Darling, you began the day after you got the program. Didn't it start like immediately?
It did. I got it on a Monday, and it started on a Tuesday, so I started
right away. Very good. And just as another recap, although you've got a few races between now and then, you're aiming for your very first marathon in Richmond on November the 11th. Do you realize that's only 135 days away? Did you not want to know that?
It gets scarier every day.
All right. So, generically speaking, Chris Darling, how are things going so far?
All in all, things are going really well. Life has happened a little bit, and things have gotten stressful where I've had to kind of shuffle my schedule around a couple of times. But pretty much, with the exception of missing, I believe, one or two water running workouts, I've been able to get everything prescribed in. Since we've last talked, I've got two races under my belt, but now I don't have another one until August, so it's really just training and trying to get better.
I don't need excruciating detail, but you mentioned something that I'm kind of interested in about a few times that you had to rearrange the schedule. Can you talk to at least one of those for me? Was there a long run you weren't able to get in for some reason, or what was the deal?
What had happened was, it was just actually just last week. Thursday was scheduled to be my drill run, and Friday is my normal rest day. Saturday's long run day. And on Thursday, I was going to be traveling back home from Baltimore, and just because of the way things were shaping up that day, there was no way to get that drill run in. So I ended up having to do it on Friday and treat Thursday as my rest day. But by and large, pretty much sticking to the schedule as it's laid out.
And I assume you just made that adjustment without speaking to Coach Twiggs, right? Just easy enough. I'll just swap.
I actually did shoot him a message just to make sure that was okay. And, he just advised me on Saturday's run to back the tempo back some, since I wasn't getting that rest day right before it.
Very good. So the customized thing is actually customized, huh?
Very much.
Good. So a couple of things that I've noticed in your training, Chris, that I wanted to talk about. First of all, I see that you're doing some 800s these days, right? I think you're up to 8 of them?
Yes, I did. In fact, I did 8 of them this morning.
And they're all under 4 minutes. Very good. What were you prescribed? I had this feeling that was a little faster than Coach Twiggs asked you to do.
I was prescribed 420.
And four, actually sub four, 352s to 358s, so felt completely comfortable?
Today it did. Last week, when I did 6 of them, I felt like I was pushing a little. I was just having a hard time trying to figure out what tempo I needed to be at so that when that 20-second walk spot in the middle happened, it wasn't putting me too slow. So I was playing around with it and couldn't get comfortable, and it just stayed fast. Today, everything felt comfortable. We'll find out when I do another Magic Mile in about a week and a half how things are adjusting with that.
What run-walk ratio are you doing for the 800s?
Basically, it's a 20-second walk break at the halfway point of each 800.
Wow. Okay. So you do you, but you're okay. So you're doing the 800 nonstop, and then you take
correct. A break. And then there's a 400 meter recovery period.
Gotcha.
No, okay, no, you're not. Not to interject, but what Chris is saying is, his 800 is not a continuous run. His 800 is interrupted by a 20-second walk break halfway through it. So there
at,
is
at the 400 mark.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, I gotcha. Thank you. So, Coach Twiggs, here's what I want to know. What are the 800s expected to do for our guinea pig? Why 800s?
So the 800s can serve a couple of several different purposes. What we're using them for right now is to help Chris get faster. And I'm not, because this is going to be his first marathon, we don't want to do any speed work officially in terms of his marathon training. And because speed work for the marathon training would typically be mile repeats. And I really don't want to put that kind of pressure on him for his first race. However, because he has a half marathon between now and then, what we're doing is using these 800s to get him faster for that half marathon. And then we can use his magic mile at the time that he does the half marathon or his half marathon result to give him a better idea of what his predicted pace would be for the marathon itself and to help him dial in his tempo runs that he'll be doing between that half marathon and the marathon. So while we normally wouldn't have a time goal for a first marathon, we're using the opportunity of this half marathon to help him get faster for that. And as I reminded Chris before we started the recording, I'm going to count this as a success, assuming he finishes the marathon with a smile on his face because it's his first one. But we all know that no matter what distance you're doing for a race, there's always that secret time goal that you have in the back of your head that you kind of like to hit. And so I want to give Chris the best chance of getting as close to that as possible.
So given the fact that he did eight 800s this morning, and they were all sub four, but you prescribed, I think you said 420 or so, what kind of advice are you giving him about that?
I'm fine with that because I still believe that his magic mile time is soft. I still think that we really don't want people puking during their magic mile. Jeff Galloway's on record as being against puking. We also don't want people collapsing across the finish line of the magic mile. But that being said, it's pretty common for people to hold back during their magic miles. Also, because this is summertime, a lot of people are running slower magic miles than they probably would otherwise because of the heat and the humidity in most parts of the country. So I'm good with him going at the pace he is for these 800s as long as he's not feeling bad and as long as he's not dropping off substantially toward the end. He is doing 10 of them next week, and then we'll have another magic mile, and we'll start tweaking again. If this were a situation where he had done a marathon before, and now we're working on a time goal for a new marathon, and he was doing mile repeats for that, then I would be a little more concerned about wanting him to hit those mile repeat times exactly. But for these 800s, if he's squeezing them a little bit faster, as long as he's not exhausted at the end, I'm fine with that.
While we're on the subject of magic miles, Chris Darling, how many of those have you done so far in this plan?
I've done two.
Can you share with us what they were, what your first one and what your second one? Was there some improvement?
Sure.
Or what?
The first one was 7:27, and the second one was 7:30.
Like conditions, or how do you feel about that?
I was a little disappointed in the second one being slower. I'm trying to. The first one I actually ran in pouring down rain at the track, And the second one, weather-wise, the conditions were great. It was 7 days post half marathon, so I don't know if that played a little bit into it. But I was a little disappointed to not at the very least hit that 7:27 again.
Gotcha. Coach, what do you say about it? What'd you tell him?
Well, I think he's right that being just a week after the half marathon was probably had an impact on him, and he probably psyched himself out a little bit. And what I'd like to see him do for the next one is to do the first two laps on pace like he's going to run that 7:27, not any faster. Just run it like he's going to run that same time, and then in the second half of the mile, pick it up and try to negative split it. And that's, I think, what happens a lot of times. People, especially when they're doing their second magic mile, they know they're supposed to go faster the second time, and so they go out like, you know, like they've been shot out of a cannon, trying to not just beat their previous magic mile time, but to destroy it, and then that results in slowing down toward the end because they've just gone out too fast. So if you can start off at a controlled pace right on that 7:27 pace for the first half mile and then pick it up, I don't think there's any question you're going to go another 10, 15 seconds faster.
Very good.
Right. And I actually think that I did go out too fast because every time I would check my watch, it was sitting right around 7:05, 7:10 on the first half of that one. And I think I just kind of overshot.
Yeah. Now you're making me look like I know what I'm talking about.
we needed to build your credibility back up, Coach, after you're telling everybody you're running 100 miles. Everybody's thinking you're crazy, but oh well. So it's been a while since, it's been about a year, I think, since I've done the Magic Mile. But as I recall, the inclination is to put some in the bank on the first two laps, Chris. And what Coach is saying is to do just the opposite, I think. Like, did I have that right, Coach?
Yeah. I'm not saying go off slower than your previous pace, but go off at what was your, go off at the pace that would be the average from your previous magic mile. And then after you've cruised through the first half, pick it up. And if you finish it 10, 15 seconds faster than the previous magic mile and you still think, wow, I had more in the tank, then that's fine. Cause you've got, as I look down your schedule, you've got the one next week, but then you've got another magic mile early August. You've got another magic mile second week of September, and then one more magic mile beginning of October before the run. And we won't really know a good predictor for that marathon until we get to that last magic mile. So even if you're just getting faster by 5 seconds, if you did that every magic mile, that'd be a huge improvement by the time race day comes along.
Sure.
Excellent. I noticed you're doing some tempo runs. Describe what those tempo, how are you running those? What are tempo runs, Chris Darling?
Well, for me right now, since the next race on my schedule is a half marathon, I'm trying to dial those tempo runs into my half marathon pace using the ratio that was prescribed for a half marathon, which for me right now is 2 minute run, 30 second walk. Again, for some reason, the one thing I have a hard time doing is trying to dial in pace. Probably because I've never really even thought about it. I've just run.
Sure.
So that's kind of a new thing. Now this past week, I felt like I had a pretty solid tempo run on Monday where I think the first of the 2 miles in it was like 3 seconds off where it was supposed to be. It did back off a little bit on the, I slowed down some for the second segment of the tempo run, but still I felt like I was in much more control of the pace where I wasn't just kind of fishing to find it. So hopefully now that they've been on my schedule several times, I'm starting to get the hang of figuring out that pace and dialing it in.
Very good. Yeah, I'm sure that'll come along. Coach Twiggs, what are the tempo runs meant to do for a runner on run, walk, run?
Well, it's exactly what Chris said. It's about practicing what's going to happen in the race itself. And so we've got two different types of tempo runs. Pretty much everybody who's doing a customized plan has a once a week or once every other week short run that includes a segment at tempo pace, which would be
warming up at your long run pace, just kind of getting the kinks out for the first 10 minutes or so, and then going for another 10 or 15 minutes practicing, or in some cases, you know, maybe 30 minutes practicing. This is what pace I'm going to do in the race itself. This is what run walk ratio I'm going to use in the race itself. And then cooling down for another 10 minutes or so, again, at long run pace. Those are for most folks, as I said, once a week or once every other week. Then, we've got some longer tempo runs, which is something that Chris just did, which is when we take a 5 mile run and we put in 1, 2, or 3 miles in the middle of practicing what's going to happen in the race itself. And that gives you a little bit more practice, a little bit more confidence to know this is how I should feel. This is, you know, shouldn't be more out of breath than this. Shouldn't need more walk breaks than this. Shouldn't be going any faster than this. All of this stuff should be dialed in and should feel good. And, you know, sometimes we've got folks that have got, you know, maybe a gym boss that they use for the tempo section and a Garmin that's keeping track of the warm up and cool down or whatever. But the idea is you're going to, after the easy warm up, you're going to go into race mode and pretend that this is what you're going to do during the race. And I feel like it helps a great deal. Jeff Galloway, you know, calls these race rehearsal runs in his books, and that's really what it's all about.
Chris, darling, I see where you're also doing some walking. Was that prescribed? You're just throwing in a few walks every now and then on a day off or a light day or whatever?
My cross training days, lately I've been doing more walking than anything. There've been a couple times I've done spin class. But since it's preferred that I don't lift unless it's a run day, for cross training, typically the easiest thing for me to do is just go out and take a walk in the morning, especially if I don't get up early enough to hit that 5:30 spin class.
You're walking at a pace that's just completely ridiculous to me, by the way. You're nuts. You're walking 14 something. Well, sub 15 minute mile. I think that's pretty amazing, actually, but holy moly.
Yeah, I actually surprised myself that I could do that. One of the local running groups I meet up with a couple times a week here, there's a girl in it, and she race walks, and she's been training at it for, I guess, about 2 years now. So if I'm meeting up with them and it's a cross training day for me, then I'll just walk and keep up with her. And it's challenging because she can actually go sub 14 if she wants to.
And at your walk pace, are you doing that little race walk thing where you're wiggling your butt down the road?
No, nobody wants to see that.
No, I just did that as a public service announcement for folks in your area.
Yeah.
All right.
They'll appreciate that.
Yeah, let me get a little tiny bit specific. You had a small setback, I think. You called it a setback with a half marathon rehearsal pace run a few days ago. What happened there?
It was just I really think my body was responding to external stress. There's been a lot of stuff going on in life involving family members that's just ratcheted the stress level up. And, you know, I was – looking forward to Saturday's run because it was only 5 miles, 3 mile at tempo for half marathon, and got out there and was feeling really good. And then about a little over two miles into the tempo portion of the run, my body just quit on me and I had to shut it down. I had a little bit of like a twinge of a chest pain, and I'd never messed with that. And when that happened, I just was like, you know what, we're going to shut this down now.
Sure.
So, Coach, but it's one of those things. I think that was my body reacting to what the previous 2 weeks had done as far as life stuff. So,
right. Coach Toys, I'm sure you chastised him severely for that, right?
No, of course not. You know, life is a thing, right? And when stuff comes up and you've got to take time off or you've got to miss something or, you know, whatever happens, we adjust. And those things are more important sometimes than the training or anything else that's going on.
Very good. The only thing else I wanted to talk about up to this point in your training, Mr. Guinea Pig, is your long runs. How far, what's your longest run so far today?
Not counting the half marathon that I did at the beginning of June, 9 miles, I believe.
And give or take, what pace and ratio are your long runs right now?
The long runs, I'm just using the 60-30 long run. Not trying to push it, not trying to do any kind of race pace. I actually do stand corrected. There was a 14-miler back in May. But that was another one of those crazy runs where things went haywire. But I'm just, you know, I'm trying to not push pace on the long run unless it tells me to, and just 60-30 for me will usually have me somewhere between 10.5 and 11.5 minutes, depending on probably how fast I'm walking and am I pushing a little bit during those 60 seconds of run.
Right. What comments have you made to him on his long runs, Coach? Is he right on target with all those?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, and this goes for all of us, the long run is just about getting the distance in. It's just about the endurance. And if you go slower than prescribed on the long run, that's fine. If you take more walk breaks on the long run than prescribed, that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with either of those things. We just want to get the distance in. And so even if it's hot where you are and you end up having to walk the entire distance of the long run, it still counts for endurance purposes. So, he's absolutely, Chris is doing great in terms of those things. He does have another, you know, he's got a decently long run this weekend, and he's at that stage. In fact, he's been at the stage this whole time where he only has to go up in distance about every other week. Early on in most people's training, we go up in distance every week. But because Chris was already coming in with a half marathon just 4 weeks after beginning training, and he was ready, you know, he was close to ready for that at that point. He's been in a spot where he's only had to worry about his long runs every other week, which means we get to do some other fun things like those tempo runs on the in-between weekends.
Chris, remember that those are fun things he's got you doing.
Exactly. I try to remind myself that when I'm circling the track for countless times in the morning on Wednesdays.
That's your mantra, isn't it? This is fun. Coach says this is fun.
That's what I keep telling myself.
So, Chris, darling, don't let me put words in your mouth, but one of the things I found when I was doing this program with Coach last year was that it was refreshing to me that every time I went out the door, even if it was for a walk, there was a purpose to it. So I'm used to running 5 miles and this was a 3 mile run or whatever, it wasn't what I was used to. It was refreshing knowing that I'm doing this for a reason. Does that make sense? And do you get that out of this as well?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I think I may have even said that the last time we talked, because I had gotten in kind of a rut. I was just going out there logging miles to log miles with no plan in place other than, hey, I've got this race on this date. I need to make sure I'm ready. And was just, you know, probably at that point treading water in my training. Wasn't making any strides forward, wasn't slipping back, but it was just there. But knowing now every day when I go out, there's a point behind it. There's a different purpose for each run. Every run feels different. I have workouts that I really enjoy. I have workouts that are harder for me, and but it gives it variety. It keeps it fresh, and it keeps it challenging.
Good, very good. So, Coach Twiggs, what if you were to look out the next few weeks? We probably won't speak for another 2 to 3 weeks. What's on the guinea pig schedule for the next few weeks?
Oh, this is great. He's got hills coming up. This is something that we didn't want to introduce. I didn't want to introduce until after he had gotten into the speed work and until he got comfortable with that. And we all heard how comfortable he was with his speed work this morning. So it's definitely time to introduce hill training. So he's got some hills coming up in a couple of weeks, and he'll be building his hills for a few weeks. And this is all to get him prepared for that that half marathon that he has toward the end of August. So he'll have some great tempo runs that are based on his predicted pace in the half marathon. He has the speed work that he's already well into, and that's going to continue. And then he'll have the hills coming up that will help him with his leg strength, getting ready for that race. And I'm predicting a terrific day for him for that half marathon, as long as Mother Nature cooperates. We can't control the weather, but as long as that works well for him, then he should feel good and well prepared for that half marathon, regardless of how he runs. He may choose not to race it too fast, but he'll be in great shape for that. And then once we get past that, then we get into the really long runs as he gets into the home stretch, ready for that marathon.
So, Chris, darling, with that in mind, you're pretty much at sea level where you're at. Are you going to have a rough time finding hills out there?
It's going to be a challenge to figure out where to do it. So I probably need to go ahead and start trying to scout out areas where I can get to a hill and run a hill.
Right.
Because there's just it's a lot like when we lived in Charleston. There's just no hills anywhere. So I may have to locate a bridge that's got some slope to it or whatever. But I want to hit those hill workouts hard simply because the half marathon at the end of August, for me, it's going to be a redemption run. The first time I ran it, it was actually my first half last year, and I was super pumped for it. I had been training really well, was training around 205, 210 at that point, and hit the wall at mile 9 because I just was not ready for the elevation changes, and ended up running it in like 231. And while I was happy to finish because it was my first, it was one of those where I was like, there's so much time out there that I left because I wasn't ready.
Well, very good. Let us know how that goes. I know we'll catch up in a few weeks and see how that goes. Before I let you go, you're also not kind of, but you are blogging about this journey of yours. You've got a Facebook page for this whole thing, don't you, Chris?
I do. The Facebook page is called The Journey of Ascent. Probably 90% of what I blog on there is about my training and races. I'll occasionally blog some other stuff, but most of it is just kind of a training log and race recaps and things like that.
Yeah, you say that, but I would also say that even the postings you put on there that aren't really running related, if you read into them, they're not running related. They certainly affect your training. So that kind of gives us all an insight of as to what's going on in your life and what your some of the struggles you've got just getting out the door. So, yeah, assuming you don't mind, I'll put the Facebook page on the in the show notes so those folks who want to follow along on it. Much more daily basis. You also do a great job of posting over at the Extra Mile Facebook page too. So if you folks aren't in that group, get over there and you can follow what Chris is doing as well. That's all I have for today. Go ahead.
Yeah, that group has become part of my accountability. So I try to post my workouts there pretty much every time I do one.
Yeah, and every picture you've got on there is a smile on your face. So I don't know what's up with that.
Sometimes they're forced.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's all I have. Mr. Twiggs, we did not ask you the date of the Hard Rock 100-mile run. What's that date? Maybe you said it and I forget.
I might have said it, but it is July 14th. We start at 6 a.m. Mountain Time, and the website is hardrock100.com, and we will be doing live tracking. They're having everybody wear a GPS tracker so that search and rescue can find us if necessary, and so that our friends back home can obsess throughout the weekend watching where our little dots are on the course. And And if anybody is of a mind to during that weekend and they want to go over there and take a peek and see how I'm doing and maybe even offer up a happy thought or a quick prayer, I certainly will appreciate that. It's a hard thing that we all do out there in the mountains, but we have to remind ourselves that we're doing it to ourselves. It's not like we're being forced to it. So that helps us keep it in perspective and smile and be grateful that we're healthy enough to do these sorts of things, as we all should be, that we're healthy enough to get out, whether we're doing a 5K or a half marathon or a marathon or some other silly thing.
Very good. So obviously, most of us probably run with a Garmin or some other GPS, but that's to tell us what our pace is. There's some other interesting information. I've never known of anyone who actually carries a GPS device for search and rescue. So you just jumped that crazy shark again for me, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, in fact, the device that we have that we carry with us doesn't give us any. There's no readout on it, no screen on it. We don't get any data from it at all. All it does is it pings up to the satellite and then back on, you know, to the server that the race uses, so that they can track us and they could find us. And there is there's something we can do, and they'll remind me what it is because I can't remember, but there's something you do like powering it on and off several times or something like that that causes it to send out a signal, meaning, you know, hey, I'm in trouble, come and get me.
Right.
And so that's, yeah, there's no readout on it, so it doesn't help us go around the course, but it does help them find us if needed.
Very good. Well, if we don't speak, good luck with that.
Thanks.
And we'll catch up afterwards. Mr. Darling, guinea pig, sir, thanks for opening up for us here and spilling your guts on everything. And I think you're making some amazing progress, and I'm getting a lot of feedback on this little segment. People are really liking the guinea pig segment. It's always very popular. So thanks again, both of you. You guys have a great rest of the day, and I appreciate it.
All right. You too, Kevin.
All right.
Cool.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Take
care. Bye.
Well, there you go. Episode 4.3 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Good stuff again, huh? You know, I'm always amazed, even after having trained with Run, Walk, Run, and had the good fortune to be able to ask Jeff any question personally that I feel like for the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years? It's 8 years. I'm always amazed that no matter what the topic, Run, Walk, Run has some sort of an answer for it. It has to be the most flexible training program around, at least in my mind. So, with respect to Jeff's advice on the adjustments for running in the heat, I can just tell that many of you are thinking to yourselves, how slow can I run? You know, the answer to running in the heat, besides doing everything you can do to stay cool, pouring water on yourself, running before the sun gets up, et cetera, just even recommended before running a loop and then coming in the house and jumping in the shower, which, by the way, I've done before. But besides that, the big thing is just to slow down. And at some point, when it gets so hot, you're running rather slow. Well, listen, you're listening to literally a walking example of what can happen if you don't take this advice. And if you're at all curious, you should go to the website, and somewhere over on the right-hand side, there's a link to a series of podcasts that Jeff and I did way back in 2010 called the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment, where yours truly was the guinea pig. And you'll see exactly what can happen if you don't follow Jeff's advice for running in the heat. And just as a spoiler alert, I have three letters for you. DNF. So by all means, learn what those adjustments are and just do it. And as for the topic of losing your mojo, I didn't give it a lot of thought, to be honest with you, until very recently when we had a posting over at the Facebook page. And it just, I don't want to say it went viral, but boy, it got a lot of comments about how to get out of those funks, those running funks. And as far as losing your mojo goes, I guess the good news is we all go through them, right? Some of them last longer than others, but it's not a question of if, but when you're going to lose your mojo. So I think it's a little reassuring that you're not alone with that, and it's not something that doesn't happen to all of us. But you have to understand that losing your mojo is almost all in your head. So it makes perfect sense that the answer is also in your head. So thanks again to our Extra Mile podcast guinea pig, Chris Darling, for laying out his training life for all of us to see. I've done that before, and it's not an easy thing to do. So thank you very much. Chris's progress is not just impressive, but I think in his mind, he's got some pretty reassuring results going on here. And obviously, thanks to Coach Twiggs for all of his insight and help in the episode as well. And good luck in that 100 miler, Chris. Lastly, I can't talk about the hot weather without talking about my all-time favorite hot weather running device, and that's the Squoosh sweatband. Our buddy John over at Squoosh is offering a 15% discount through the end of the year at his Etsy site. So I'm going to post that website in today's show notes. And just trust me on this. If you've not tried a Squoosh for running in the heat, give it a shot. They're inexpensive little devices anyway. And along with John's 15% discount, they're darn right cheap. So that's all I got for today's episode. Thanks for downloading the show, giving us the last couple hours of your life. I don't take that one lightly. Thanks to, once again, our lovable guinea pig and also to Coach Twiggs. And obviously, thanks to all the listeners who sent questions. I wasn't able to ask every one of the questions. We are limited a little bit by time, but I appreciate sending me the questions, whether I had time to ask them or not. And of course, thanks to Mr. Galloway for his time in today's episode as well. So that's all I got. Let's hear from you. What do you think? Feedback is always a good thing. Reviews over at iTunes do help the podcast get out there so that other people can benefit from Run, Walk, Run. So if you're so inclined, you might want to get over to iTunes and chat it up a little bit. And we'll see you shortly. Stay cool in this weather, and we'll be back. And until then, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile. Yeah.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.